Time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitten Madness.
And here he goes. Defense wins championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dajon Hughes.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. Good morning on this Saturday morning. I'm your host, Dajon Hughes, and we're getting ready to dive into an hour's worth of sports happenings here in the state of Michigan. As always, I'm doing great. I'm excited for yet another week. We're getting ready to go into the Independence Day weekend, which is jam-packed with sports that we're going to dive into, and hopefully you all will enjoy watching a ton of those sporting events like I surely will be. Had the week off from practice this week, so I'm feeling amazing. It's been a great week here at the office. Nice vibe, real quiet. Everybody just grinding and getting away so we can enjoy some time off for the holiday. I hope your week has been fantastic because mine surely has been. Coming up this weekend, I'm just vibing, hanging out with friends, fireworks, food, having a good time, getting with family. That's what the weekend is all about, enjoying the life that we get to live here in America and do it and celebrate how we please. So hopefully you have great things planned with your family, your friends, your loved ones for this Independence Day weekend, and you're ready to celebrate yet another year in this country. And then hopefully you continue to celebrate on your birthday for yet another year in the world, sending out all the good feelings. We have tons of things to dive into when we're talking about sports, though. We're going to touch in on our Detroit Tigers over in Comerica Park, like always. Then we got to make a pit stop just down the block and hit in on Little Caesars Arena, touch in on our Pistons and what the rest of the NBA trades, free agency, and offseason moves look like around the league. Then we got to go down the highway, down 94 a little bit, and hit on into Ann Arbor, touching the Chrysler Center with the Michigan men's basketball team and some of the new happenings there with that squad after Coach Dusty May moved on. And, of course, we'll get in on the World Cup as well, as that is in the thick of bracket play now before ending out with our picks at the end of the show. Let's dive into it now that we've gotten through the obligatories. Excuse me. We'll start where we always start, with our Detroit Tigers in the standings. They're still second from the bottom in the AL Central. They're now 8 games behind the Central leading Chicago White Sox. The Tigers are 38-49. The Royals sit at the bottom of the division at 35-52, 11 games behind the White Sox. Guardians in second, 1 game behind at 45-42, and at 42-46, 4.5 games behind, are the Minnesota Twins. When we look at the American League overall, the Tigers are 4th from the bottom. They're technically tied with the Boston Red Sox, who are 37-48. They both sit 14 games behind league-leading Tampa Bay Rays, who are 50-33. The Angels, 2nd from the bottom, 36-51, with 16 games behind. The Royals coming in at the bottom of the American League, 35-52, 17 games behind. Then you got the Yankees sitting in second at 3.5 games back, 48-38. Then those White Sox, who are 6 games back of the Rays. Then the Guardians, who are 7 games back. And rounding out the top 5, the Texas Rangers, who are 8 games behind the Tampa Bay Rays at 44-43. Looking at the entire league overall, the Tigers have taken a few more steps up. They are 18 games behind the league-leading Los Angeles Dodgers. The Giants in the bottom, 2 spots behind the Tigers, 19.5 games back at 36-50. Then the Angels, 36-51, 20 games back, along with the Mets, the exact same record. Then those Royals, and then sitting 22 games behind at the bottom of the MLB are the Colorado Rockies at 34-53. The Brewers sitting in second, game and a half behind the Dodgers at 53-31. Tampa Bay Rays, they're 4 games behind the Dodgers at 50-33. 50-34, 4.5 games back are the Atlanta Braves. And the Chicago Cubs come in 7 games back, tied with the Phillies for 5th place at 49-38 in the entire MLB. Now getting in closer, looking at the batting leaders for the Tigers, Riley Green, his batting average of .285, on-base percentage of .376, slugging percentage of .446. Dylan Dingler, the home run king for these Tigers, still leading the squad with 19 on the year. Also leads the team in RBIs as he's batted in 59 runs so far this year. The team has 366 runs on the year, which is 20th in the league. 25th in the league of a batting average of .235, on base percentage of .314. It's Pi Day, baby. 19th in the league, and their slugging percentage of .396 is 18th in the league. Meanwhile, on the pitching side, their ERA as a team, 3.73, is good for 6th in the MLB. Their quality starts of 34 is tied for 6th in the MLB. Their whip of 1.22 is 7th in the MLB. And their opponent batting average of .235 is 8th in the MLB. The Tigers are continuing to be led by their pitching. The batting does have to catch up, but this is a great sign, being in not just the top 5, the top 8 for every single one of these pitching statistics is the reason why the Tigers are sitting in the position they're in and still have a chance to try and work their way up in the Central Division and maybe even the American League wild card. Before we get into what has happened over the last week, I didn't realize that they were keeping track of the new ABS challenge system. They're doing it by batters, catchers, and entire teams. The batter that's doing the best in ABS challenges for the Tigers is Kevin McGonigal. He's got 12 challenge successes out of 17, which gives him a 70.6 success rate, one of the highest in the entire MLB. There's a few who are sitting at 100%. And Bryce Eldridge from San Francisco and Isaac Paredes from Houston. And then you got Davis Schneider at 78.6, Jose Altuve at 71.4. And then fifth place is Kevin McGonigal at 70.6. So sitting in the very top echelon for challenges is Kevin McGonigal. Then you look at the catchers. Dylan Dingler has 45 successes out of 63 challenges, which gives him a 71.4%, which is putting him once again right near the top. You have 74.4% from Carson Kelly of the Chicago Cubs. Miguel Amaya of the Chicago Cubs also getting in on this list at a 64.3, the highest in the league. JT Realmuto out of Philly at 82.9%. And then Dylan Dingler is coming in right after that. So he did an amazing job of being high on that list as well. Then you look at the MLB team challenges as a whole. Challenge success rate for the Tigers, 52.9%. Their pitch catch success rate, 68.7%. Their total challenge success rate is a 60.3%. And the batting challenge successes, they are 7th in the league. Pitching catching challenge successes, they are 2nd in the league. Total challenge success, they are 3rd in the league. Ahead of them, the Diamondbacks are 2nd at 61.1%. And then in 1st place, you have the Cincinnati Reds at 62.6%. So the Tigers are doing a great job of being able to use their challenges well and make sure that they are winning those challenges. But now that we're about a month ahead of the deadline, it's time to talk a little bit about trades as well. Looks like the Milwaukee Brewers, Los Angeles Dodgers, and Tampa Bay Rays are all looking to trade for Tarek Skubal. These teams also happen to rank 1, 2, 3 in the majors in rotation ERA, but all three have reasons to swing such a deal. The franchise has never won a World Series and hasn't been in one since 1982 and has been on the edge of getting there for years now. If there's ever a year to go all in, this is it. Skubal will be that final piece for the Brewers, and he not only adds another ace to go with Jacob Misurowski, but also gives them another lefty starter alongside Kyle Harrison to combat Shohei Ohtani and a lefty-heavy Dodgers lineup. The Brewers have the prospects to make any deal they want, but does owner Mark Adonasio have the resolve to take on the rest of Skubal's salary? Los Angeles, the Dodgers, Ohtani and Yoshinobu Yamamoto have been great, and Justin Warbolowski keeps winning despite a low strikeout rate, but the health of Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow remains a question. So there's that, and there's also an uncertain future for the Dodgers. If the labor negotiations eventually end with a salary cap being implemented, it won't be as easy for the Dodgers to spend their way to World Series titles, so there's added imperative to win now. And make a little history in joining the 36 through 39 Yankees, 49 through 53 Yankees, 72 through 74 A's, and 98 through 2000 Yankees as the only teams to win at least three straight World Series. Tampa Bay, on the other hand, another team in search of a first World Series title in the American League will never be easier to win. So this is the year for the Rays to push in all their chips. The rotation, despite ranking second in ERA, is thin behind Drew Rasmussen, Shane McElhinney, and Nick Martinez. So adding Scooble to front a playoff rotation makes sense. And more so than the Brewers, it seems the Rays are more likely to make a big deal for Scooble in the first place. Obviously, to acquire Scooble, that means the Tigers must be willing to trade him. And ranking the top 100 trade candidates last week, Jeff Passan and Kylie McDaniel put Scooble's trade possibility at 85%. But there are a couple of issues. First, though Scooble has returned from his elbow injury and throwing as hard as pre-injury, the results have been up to his usual standards. He's given up 7 home runs and 4 starts since coming off the injured list, but his last start against the Yankees on Tuesday was much better, as he only gave up 1 hit in 6 innings. Second, the Tigers will need to be convinced that they're out of the playoff race, and though they're 11 games under 500, FanGraphs puts their chances of making the playoffs at around 24%. In fact, despite their record, they're only one of 5 AL teams with a positive run differential. Given the struggles of the bullpen and an inconsistent offense, a run like 2 years ago feels unlikely, so it still makes sense for the Tigers to cash in on Scooble, add more premium young talent to go with Kevin McGonigal, Max Clark, Bryce Rainer, and established stars such as Riley Green and Dylan Dingler. Now that we're caught up there, let's take a look at this schedule that they have gotten into the last week or so. The last time we talked, they were getting ready for a weekend series against Houston, where they ended up losing 3-1. They lost first game 2-1, won the second game 8-0, lost the third game 8-6, and then lost the fourth game 7-5 in 10 innings. But then they went on to sweep the Yankees in the early week series this week. 7-3 over the Yankees, 9-3 over the Yankees, and 6-2 and 11 over the Yankees. Maya, Scooble, and Montero all pick up wins. Now going into this weekend, they have the Rangers, where Valdez will pitch against Ovaldi, Flaherty against Quintrill, Mize against Rocker. Then the A's come up early next week. Scooble versus Springs, Melton versus Jin, Valdez versus Perkins, and then it's the Philadelphia Phillies to end out the beginning of the season. The first half will be Flaherty versus Nola, Mize versus Sanchez, and that Sunday, July 12th game is undecided as of now. Tigers have great chances to continue to have some success here. Beating the Rangers would be huge for them, and then getting wins over the A's, as we should expect at this point, will also continue, as they're now on a 3-game win streak and will look to continue that. But there's not a ton to talk about with the Tigers now as we are headed into the break, but keep your eye out for that trade market because the deadline is only a month away, so a lot of moves are going to start happening soon. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking about our Pistons and the NBA offseason moves on Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. We're taking a hop, skip, and jump over to Little Caesars Arena right down the block from Comerica Park to talk about our Detroit Pistons A lot of moves have been made for them and against them, really. When we dive into it, restricted free agent Jalen Duren is looking to meet with both the Lakers and Kings. With him being a restricted free agent, he is up for the max deal. I don't believe the Pistons want to pay him max deal money, which would be like 5 years and 200 and some change. So they're looking for someone to maybe offer him like four and like 177 or something lower than that. So then they can match that offer and hopefully get him to stay in Detroit. But as of right now, it looks like he might want to make his way out. Malik Beasley has been indicted in a federal gambling case that involves him throwing some games. Looks like most of them were with the Milwaukee Bucks, not so much with the Pistons, but that does mean things are going to be a little bit interesting for them, and maybe they'll get pulled into some things if there are some games of his that he played with the Pistons that they are worried about. So that's something that we'll keep an eye on. But there are no guarantees. The Pistons did sign starting power forward John Collins, but that comes after they signed Kevin Huerter to a three-year deal. They got him to come back and re-sign on a three-year deal. His deal consists of a $27 million deal. They worked the deal Monday. They acquired Huerter before last year's season trade deadline. An eight-year veteran made 30 appearances for the team, including the playoffs, averaged 8.6 in 20.5 minutes. They'll look for him to help in the three-point shooting alongside Cade Cunningham. It does leave Jalen Duren and Tobias Harris as the only remaining free agents. But there's somebody out there that isn't really a free agent anymore that we just named, and that was Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris just signed with the San Antonio Spurs for a two-year, $31 million deal. So Tobias Harris will no longer be in Detroit. Uncle T on his way out, right? He was phenomenal in the playoffs, averaged over 20 a game. I mean, scored 20-plus in seven, eight games in a row. He was a great second scorer behind Cade, but they did need something more, obviously, as they lost to the Cavaliers, and he felt like it was time for him to move on. He spent 2 years in Detroit after returning. He was there before. He's now returned back to Detroit, spent 2 years here, got into the playoffs both years, lost to the Knicks and lost to the Cavs, and he's like, you know what? It's time for me to head back out west. Joins up with Stephon Castle, Vassell, Dylan Harper, Wemby, De'Aaron Fox, and everyone else who's going to be playing on that San Antonio Spurs team. That team is going to be nasty. It is a team we will have to look out for in the future. I'm not saying that Tobias Harris makes them nasty, but when you look at the rest of what they have going on, that man is definitely going to help. The Warriors are trying to maintain flexibility in their pursuit of LeBron James, who has pretty much said, I only want to play in either Golden State, but if I go to Golden State, I want Anthony Davis to come too. And then I think he mentioned Cleveland as one of the options. Miami Heat was one of the options. But he definitely told the Lakers, I'm not returning. So you can go ahead and move forward with your plans, but I'm not returning. He also said he's not looking to make a financial decision. He's not going to be financially driven. It's not about the money. He wants to play somewhere where he's going to be a contender. And then he can play golf year-round. Whether it's indoor or outdoor, he wants the best places to play golf for both indoor and outdoor at the same time so he can play year-round while also being on a NBA championship contending team. So that is going to be interesting to see where LeBron James ends up landing and if that team is able to seriously compete for a championship. Tim Hardaway Jr. has now landed with the Heat. He brings a three-point shooting prowess to a revamped team that is building around Giannis Antetokounmpo. He will not have his number 10 jersey that he wore in the NBA. His father, Tim Hardaway Sr., says he isn't letting his retired number come back in circulation for the Heat, even if it's for his son. After reaching the NBA Finals for the first time since 2014, behind a roster teaming with young talent, the San Antonio Spurs chose to improve along the fringes with adding key veterans who can help keep open the franchise window of title contention. Expect the rest of the Spurs offseason to be quiet, that is, unless an offer comes in that they can't refuse. As I've always said, the guys on the court will dictate how fast we go. Spurs general manager Brian Wright said they drove really fast this year. The group got there, and they got there pretty quickly. We're always going to be methodical in our approach and our analysis of what moves make sense for this team. That led to the addition and free agency of veteran power forward Tobias Harris, 33, who agreed Wednesday to a two-year deal worth $31 million. He brings size, versatility, physicality, shot-making, and floor spacing to a front court that desperately needed those qualities during late-game situations in the NBA Finals. The thing you learn across the playoffs was just the physicality part, right? Wright said, you all saw it. We all felt it. Our team raised our level across each series and how we adapted and how we brought our own physicality. Yet it wasn't enough to emerge victorious in the series. Despite holding double-digit leads in every game, that's where a productive veteran of Harris's ilk helps. As likely, Harris will come off the bench behind the 25-year-old Julian Champagny, who agreed Monday to a new three-year, $45 million deal. San Antonio also made sure to bring back veteran Harrison Barnes, who agreed to a one-year deal worth $8 million. The Spurs leaned on the draft to bolster their front court depth alongside franchise star Victor Wembanyama, adding a pair of versatile defensive-minded bigs in Kentucky's Jaden Quintance and Terrace Reed Jr. of UConn. Wright joked after the draft, you can see we had a type. So it's going to be interesting. The biggest move so far was Jaylen Brown getting traded to the 76ers. Let me see if I can find exactly what's going down. Here it is. Here's a hot take right off the bat. The Celtics might very well win 50-plus games again next season. After all, they went 56-26 last season despite only 16 games with Jason Tatum, who was recovering from a torn Achilles. If Tatum is fully healthy next season, he would mimic Brown's 25-26 production, and the Celtics have otherwise improved this summer as they added Mitchell Robinson and have thus far retained the rest of the core that powered their surprisingly strong season. Yet that's a glib way to start this analysis, because swapping Brown for George makes the Celtics worse. It clearly makes them worse. Crucially, it lowers their playoff ceiling, even if the likes of Hugo Gonzalez, Baylor Shireman, and Jordan Walsh might mash together enough solid minutes to try to replace the All-Star throughout the regular season. It's utterly strange that the Celtics would willingly take such a giant step back. This is the most successful franchise of the decade. In the 2020s, the C's ranked first in regular season wins and playoff victories, and they're the only team to win a championship and make another NBA Finals, as they gave the Celtics a D-plus for that trade, Garrett. Meanwhile, for the 76ers, Brown could be a very good fit in Philadelphia. The 76ers have two excellent guards in Tyrese Maxey and Vijay Edgecombe, and one excellent when healthy center in Joel Embiid, but they've never had adequate forwards to connect those positional strengths, and George on maximum contract was evidently not the answer. Dean Wade seemed like a worthwhile solution when the 76ers agreed to a four-year deal with him on Tuesday, but Brown is on a completely different level from anyone the 76ers have tried there before. He can step up and handle more of the scoring load when the often injured Embiid misses time. Brown can operate as a secondary playmaker next to Maxey and provide strong perimeter defense, particularly if Brown isn't expending so much of his energy on the offensive end. Brown also could be a very awkward fit in Philadelphia. He hasn't played with an elite ball-dominant point guard in years since Kyrie Irving's fairly disastrous tenure, and Boston has never played with a post presence such as Embiid. Now, what exactly was this trade? The trade is Jaylen Brown to the 76ers for Paul George, two first-round picks, and two second-round picks. So we'll see who ends up eventually winning this trade, but on the outside looking in and at this very moment, it really looks like the Philadelphia 76ers not only won this trade, but absolutely fleeced the Celtics here. You sent Paul George, who has not been great for years, and a couple of picks. So if you continue to be good, those picks are low first round, maybe even second round picks, where they have to, play for scraps, essentially. Like, if you're not in the lottery, those picks mean nothing, in my opinion, because right outside the lottery, you're not getting a lot of great players that are going to make immediate impact or maybe even impact at all for your team. But on the other end, the 76ers, they got better. They got better with this trade. Absolutely no questions about it, in my opinion. Jaylen Brown going to their team takes their offensive talents through the roof. And as they just mentioned not too long ago, if he doesn't have to play and expend as much energy on offense that he was doing in Boston without Jason Tatum this season, he can play so much more defense and be a more high-caliber perimeter defender for the 76ers, which will then again make them a better team. And he doesn't have to do as much. Vijay Edgecombe, a rookie this past season, has been phenomenal for the 76ers, has come in and filled his role greatly and has helped them to success, helped them reach the playoffs this year. And then you also have Tyrese Maxey, who's been doing his thing for the last couple of years at that point guard spot. And obviously Embiid, if he's able to stay healthy, those four right there is enough of a core to get them everywhere they want to be. You just got to make sure you have supplemental pieces behind it that are going to help you achieve the goals that you have set as a team. But I really do feel like the 76ers are in a far better spot than the Celtics are after this trade. Jackson Hayes, the former Lakers center, is signing a two-year, $12 million deal with the Utah Jazz. The second season is a team option, so he may be let go after just 1 year. The Lakers have four top free agent agreements in a 30-minute span, headlined by Walker Kessler, who they signed to a pretty big deal. Draymond Green declined his option with the Warriors. Zach LaVine opts into his deal with the Kings. Harden declines his options, but he is working on a deal with the Cavs. So there are a lot of pieces out there that are still available to be moved or picked up. So we'll find out what happens over the next couple of weeks as Van Vliet picked up his option in Houston as well. The Clippers are trying to get Kawhi back in Toronto because they don't want him anymore and Toronto wants him. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. But when we come back from the break, we'll be talking about Michigan basketball and the World Cup here on Mid Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
Carter Ostrous here for the Council for Responsible Energy. I want to share a few quick, simple, and inexpensive tips that will not only reduce your home's energy use, but will also save you money on your utility bills. As you switch from heating to cooling, why not opt for a new programmable thermostat that will virtually pay for itself? This is one of the easiest things you can do to really see some significant savings. You can save about $180 a year by properly setting a programmable thermostat. Weather stripping can also significantly lower your bills. You just peel the backing off and seal up any leaks in drafty doors and windows. It only takes a few minutes, but you definitely notice a difference in both the temperature in the house and also your bills. And my last tip, check your home's insulation. Proper insulation in your attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, exterior and basement walls can save you 30% on home energy bills. It's a little bit more work for you, but your wallet will definitely thank you.
A message from the Council for Responsible Energy.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and we are down in Ann Arbor talking about what's happening with the Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team. As Coach Dusty May left the program on June 22nd, 11 weeks after leading Michigan to a national title in just his second season in Ann Arbor, Coach May is leaving college basketball to coach Cooper Flagg and the Dallas Mavericks. A former student manager for Bob Knight in Indiana, May had been hired by the Wolverines in 2024 to replace Juwan Howard after leading Florida Atlantic to back-to-back NCAA tournament appearances. Mike Boynton, who was named the interim on June 22nd, almost immediately after the news came out about Dusty May. He joined May's coaching staff in 2024 after seven seasons leading Oklahoma State, where he went 119 and 109 overall, including one NCAA round of 32 appearance. He will be given the interim tag for the 26-27 season. What does this mean for Michigan basketball? For the first time in 7 years, a men's college basketball coach is leaving to take over an NBA team. Michigan's Dusty May is departing the Wolverines for the Dallas Mavericks. ESPN reported that Monday morning after new team president Masai Ujiri and new general manager Mike Schmitz tabbed the reigning national champion to replace Jason Kidd. May's departure is a seismic shock to the college basketball landscape, coming the day before the NBA draft, almost 2 months after the transfer portal closed, and 2.5 months after North Carolina hired Michael Malone, seemingly ending the high major conference coaching carousel. It also comes just months after May guided Michigan to a dominant national championship run, beating UConn in the title game to cap a 37-3 season that featured 29 wins by double digits. May now becomes the first men's college basketball coach to leave in the offseason immediately following a national title since Larry Brown left Kansas for the San Antonio Spurs in 1988. Side note, the Wolverines were also on the wrong end of this move the last time this happened when John Beilein left for the Cleveland Cavaliers in 2019. May brought Michigan basketball back to the top of the sport, but the long-term outlook of the program remains up in the air, even with the expectation that athletic director Ward Manuel will tab assistant coach Mike Boynton, as he has the interim head coach for the 26-27 campaign. What are the immediate priorities, and what other candidates could be on the school's radar in the future? Ward Manuel and Michigan are experienced when it comes to this sort of sudden landscape shifting move deep into the offseason. When Beilein left for the Cavaliers, it was mid-May. 9 days later, Michigan hired program legend Juwan Howard, who had spent the previous six seasons with the Miami Heat. It also happened to the Wolverines in college football when Jim Harbaugh departed for the Los Angeles Chargers after winning the national title in 2024. That happened 2 weeks after the season ended. Days later, Manuel promoted offensive coordinator Sharon Moore to the top spot. Boynton, the interim choice, has been the team's defensive coordinator since 24 and has experience as a high major head coach, having spent seven seasons at the helm of Oklahoma State. Boynton led the Cowboys to one NCAA tournament appearance and also landing the elite recruit Cade Cunningham, who ended up as the number one pick in the 21 NBA draft. Armed with a top five roster, Boynton will have to prove himself. We'll have a chance to prove himself, but who else could be in the mix if Michigan opts to conduct a more wide-ranging search? St. Louis's Josh Schertz, Vanderbilt's Mark Byington, Texas Tech Grant McCaslin, and Iowa's Ben McCollum. Iowa State's T.J. Otzelberg, Alabama's Nate Oates, Billy Donovan could possibly come back from the Oklahoma City Thunder and Chicago Bulls and maybe make a pitch back into the college game. What does it mean for the current roster? Back in January, the NCAA made a change to the transfer portal policy surrounding coaching changes. When a head coaching change occurs, players have a 15-day period in which to enter the transfer portal, a period that begins 5 days after the new head coach is hired or publicly announced. With Michigan expecting to hire Boynton, the window will open when it's officially announced. Now, the outlook. Returnees like Elliott Cadeau and Trey McKinney have already said they plan on being back. And transfers like Mustafa Thiam, J.P. Estrella, and Jalen Reed have all said they plan on being Michigan men. Brandon McCoy, Quinn Costello, Lincoln Cosby, and Joseph Hartman, all incoming freshmen in the 2026 class, which was fourth in the country, could be some of the guys that could leave this team, and that's something to keep an eye on. But I think it's huge, 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 huge that they were able to keep Elliott Cadeau, J.P. Estrella, Mustafa Thiam, and Trey McKinney. That right there is a core in its own. And if you're able to keep Brandon McCoy, you got a starting five plus some. Like, this team is on the road to having a successful season. It's just a matter of what can Mike Boynton do with the keys. Now that he's been given the title and he's been given the keys and he has control, can he lead this team back to success like we saw with Dusty May over the last 2 years? He's seen all the things Dusty's done. He's been a part of the things Dusty's done. He's actually a large part of the reason why the defense has been so good for the Michigan Wolverines over the last 2 years. So now he just has to get help, and hopefully somebody can continue to get the offensive prowess going the way Dusty and his crew had it moving. And now we're back in business. This team is going to be okay. They got all the right people to stay, and they have a coach that they believe in. Trey McKinney said, look, AD Manuel, I want Mike Boynton here. I actually don't even want to listen to anybody else. That's my guy. I like him. I'm devoted to him. We don't need anyone else. And then his dad doubled down on that and was like, look, one, not only is my son loyal and he doesn't want to leave a team and a program that he's committed himself to, but also Mike Boynton is the head recruiter for 95% of the guys that come into Michigan under Dusty May. They were like, hey, Elliott Cadeau was Dusty's guy because him and Elliott's prep school coach are great friends. So he was able to get the end there. But everything else was Mike Boynton. He was the one that brought these guys in and created that relationship and was able to pull them into being Michigan men. So they all want to stick behind him. And I like the idea of it thoroughly, thoroughly. So I'm excited to see what's going to be happening with the Michigan Wolverines and their men's basketball team over the next couple of months. Looking over at the World Cup, the round of 32 has not only been set, but has started. Paraguay beat Germany 4-3 in penalty kicks. And they move on. France dominates Sweden 3-0 in full time. Canada beats South Africa 1-0 in full time. Morocco beats Netherlands 3-2 in penalty kicks. And then you have USA over Bosnia 2-0. Belgium over Senegal 3-2. Brazil over Japan 2-1. Norway over Ivory Coast 2-1. Mexico over Ecuador 2-0. England over Congo, Dominican Republic 2-1. And then we still have some more games that will be played Thursday, as I'm recording this on Thursday, because we do have Friday off for the holiday. So you're listening to this on Independence Day. So happy Independence Day to you. But there are some games that will be played on Thursday and Friday that I don't have the results to, but you definitely do. Portugal and Croatia, Spain and Austria. You also have Argentina and Cape Verde, Australia and Egypt, Switzerland versus Algeria, and Colombia versus Ghana. So a lot of action going to be going down over the next couple of weeks. Later today, which are a game we won't be getting into, but we will be getting into some of the others during our picks. Paraguay versus France, 5 p.m. today on Fox. Canada versus Morocco is 1 p.m. today on Fox. USA versus Belgium is going to be Monday the 6th at 8 p.m. on Fox. Brazil and Norway tomorrow, 4 p.m. on Fox. Mexico and England, 8 p.m. tomorrow on Fox. So a couple of really good games coming up over this next weekend to see who's going to take the crown in the World Cup. The U.S. men's national team shows that it can play ugly but still have much-needed things for success. I mean, they had a red card and we're playing 10 players. So a player down as there's 11 on the field, 12 counting the goalie, for 35 minutes. 35 minutes. Yeah, over half an hour of consistent running, playing one player down. They have an advantage over you for more than half an hour of this game's play. And they couldn't get anything going. In fact, the United States actually scored again in that time to take a 2-0 win over Bosnia. And that's all we got for the Michigan basketball team and the World Cup. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking about our picks here on Mid Madness on 95.3. Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and we're getting ready to get into one of my favorite parts. What am I talking about? My favorite part of the show. It's picks. It's always a chance to show off the little bit of ball knowledge that your boy has, but also you have a chance to show off your ball knowledge as well, because you can play along with the picks every single week. All you have to do is submit them into the 95.3 The Ticket app. How does it run? Well, we pick our six games every week, and then I go through, do my deliberation, talk about everything that I know about the players involved, about the game, about the match, the contest, whatever it may be, and explain why I am going to be right after all the research and deliberation that I've done, and I tell you my picks. And then this is where the cool thing comes in. You have an opportunity to go back, look all of this up for yourself, do your own research, do your own deliberation, and come up with a perfect formula as to why your six picks are going to be right and you're going to have a perfect 6-0 week. And then you head on over to the 95.3 The Ticket app. You punch in those picks. Give us those six teams, those six people, whatever it may be. Let us know who's going to win and why they're going to win. If you want to, you don't have to say why, but then if you're able to beat me season long, keep track of your picks as well as I'll keep track of mine. You can have a better record of me than me for an entire season. We can have something special for you here, but you got to play along with us using the chat feature in 95.3 The Ticket app. Now that we've gotten through all of that, and hopefully you are going to play along, we have to dive into the six games. Well, we have three matches and three games to dive into. We'll start with the matches, as the World Cup is at the height of almost everyone's mind right now. Canada will be taking on Morocco at 1 p.m. today. You can watch the game on Fox when we look at the head-to-head matchups for these two teams recently, Morocco beat Canada in the 2022 FIFA World Cup group stage 2-1 in full time. And then in an international friendly in 2016, Morocco beat Canada 4-0. Canada is averaging over 2 goals in this tournament. Morocco just under 2 goals. It's, oh man, this is so, so tight. You had two draws to start against Israel and Bosnia, and then Qatar, which Canada dominated 6-0. They lost to Switzerland 2-1, and they beat South Africa 1-0. Those are their last 5. Meanwhile, for Morocco, you had two draws against Norway and Brazil, but then they beat Scotland 4-1, dominated Haiti 4-2, and then needed penalty kicks to beat the Netherlands in the first round. And that's how they got to this matchup here that will be at NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas. Looking at the lines, Canada plus 400, Morocco negative 125. 2.5 is the total for the over-under. And then the spread is a half goal favorite for Morocco. There's a plus 250 for the draw in this game as well, which would just lead to penalty kicks because it is knockout stage. But a draw is a draw nonetheless. So that's kind of the odds of what you're looking at there. And I'm going to go along with what all the odds are saying. When we look at it, in the last 5, Morocco has a better record. In their head-to-head matchups, their last couple of ones, Morocco has a better record. Morocco has also, in my opinion, just been better across the board. Like, they're just a very even-keeled team. Canada, very, very great on the offensive end. But their defense, I mean, it, to me, is a little skeptical. I'm going to go with Morocco here to move on into the final 8 teams of the World Cup. Speaking of teams fighting for to be in the final 8, United States will take on Belgium on Monday, July 6th at 8 p.m. on Fox. This one will be at Lumen Field in Seattle, Washington. And obviously, we know how great America has been. Alex Freeman, Malik Tillman, Foal Belonga. Team has been fantastic. They're averaging 2.5 goals. They say they're only giving up 1 goal a game, but when we look back at their last 5, they lost a 2-1 friendly to Germany back on June 6th. But since then, they've been great. 4-1 win over Paraguay, 2-0 win over Austria, 3-2 loss to Turkey, and then a 2-0 win over Bosnia. Meanwhile, for Belgium, they have a win over Turkey, or Tunisia in an international friendly, and then they had a draw against Egypt, a draw against Iran, and then they beat New Zealand 5-1 and then beat Senegal 3-2. So a lot of good things coming in for both these teams in the last 5. In the last 5, going back to 1930 in the World Cup in Uruguay, USA beat Belgium 3-0, but then the friendly in 11, Belgium beats USA 1-0. A friendly in 13, Belgium beats USA 4-2. Belgium in 14 beats USA 2-1 in the round of 16 of the World Cup. And then an international friendly earlier this year, Belgium beat United States 5-2. Although I would like to say all of that is appealing, the odds are a lot closer. USA plus 155, Belgium plus 180, the draw plus 245. 2.5 sits on the over-under, and of course a half goal spread favorited to the United States. I think they're giving them that home field advantage. They're playing here in America. They're more adjusted to the temperatures, more adjusted to the climate, more adjusted to everything here, the playing surface, all of it. And the fans are juiced for a possible home World Cup. Like, imagine the United States of America winning the World Cup in America. This place might burn down, and everybody's ready for it. So I'm going to take USA to continue on in the World Cup, but this one could be close and could end in a loss, seriously, for United States, as they have struggled against Belgium in recent competition. That leads us to our last World Cup match of the picks this weekend. Mexico will be taking on England tomorrow, 8 p.m. on Fox. This one will be at Estadio Banorte in Mexico City, Mexico. Mexico, plus 220 on the money line, plus 140 for England, plus 215 on the draw. 2.5 point over on the over under, and a half goal favorite for England over Mexico. In their recent matchups, England 2-0 back in 66 in the World Cup over Mexico, and then in a friendly in 2010, England beats Mexico 3-1. They're deadlocked at 2 for average goals, but the key here is Mexico hasn't given up a goal yet in this tournament. They beat Serbia in a friendly 5-1, beat South Korea 2-0, beat Korea, or South Africa 2-0, beat Korea 1-0, beat Chechnya 3-0, and then beat Ecuador 2-0 to start the round of 32 bracket play. Meanwhile, for England, a 3-0 win over Costa Rica, a 4-2 win over Croatia, then they drew against Ghana, a 2-0 win over Panama, and then a 2-1 win over the Dominican Republic of Congo. I really like what we're seeing here out of both of these teams. I think this is going to be one of the closer matches as the World Cup continues to go on, but I have to lean on the side of consistency. And so far, one thing that has been consistent about Mexico is their ability to keep people out of the net. And if they're able to not concede goals, all you got to do is score one or win in penalty kicks. And Mexico's done a great job of doing so far. If four clean sheets in the tournament so far, 100% save percentage, and they're, you know, possessing the ball 48% of the time, their average goal differential is a plus two. They are phenomenal so far in this tournament. I'm going to keep them to continue having that success, which gets us over into the WNBA. The Golden State Valkyries, 13-7, 3-4 on the road, will take on the Atlanta Dream, who are 12-7, 6-2 at home. That'll be 1 p.m. on CBS and Paramount Plus later today. Gabby Williams, Kayla Thornton, and Veronica Burton, Ryan Howard, Angel Reese, Jordan Canada, and company for both squads. Not a lot of serious injuries for either one of these teams. Valkyries actually lead this season series 2-0, 77-66 back on June 24th, and then 78-75 back on June 26th. Both of those games were in Golden State, which makes a huge difference, especially when you look at the records for these two teams and where they stand. 67.8% chance for Atlanta, 32.1% chance for the Valkyries. This game will be Gateway Center, College Park, Georgia. Valkyries, 3-2 in their last five. Losses to Minnesota and Vegas, two wins over the Dream and a win over the Liberty. Meanwhile, for the Dream, they're 2-3 on a three-game losing streak at the moment. A win over the Fever and the Tempo, two losses to the Valkyries and a loss to the Storm. As much as they are struggling right now, as much as they're on that three-game losing streak, they're at the top of the Eastern Conference. They're one of the best teams in the entire WNBA. And while the Valkyries have played well, and they're a top team in the WNBA as well, they're not good on the road. 3-4 is where they struggle on the road. If we look at it, they are 10-3 at home, but 3-4 on the road. So road games not good for them. Meanwhile, the Dream, they're 6-5 on the road, but 6-2 at home. They play well when they're playing at Gateway Center in College Park. So I'm going to go with the Dream to win the home game here over the Valkyries. Stepping in, Dallas Wings will take on the Toronto Tempo on Sunday at 3 p.m. 11-8 Dallas Wings, 5-5 on the road, are taking on the 9-10 Tempo, who are 5-4 at home. Dallas has a 53.1% chance to win, 46.9% for the Tempo. This will be at Coca-Cola Coliseum in Toronto, Ontario. Beckers and Shepherd and Ozzie Fudd will lead the Wings against a hampered Tempo squad who's going to be without Mabry, Sykes, and Rice. Mabry may come back, but there's no guarantees. This is the first matchup of these two teams this season. They're both coming in 2-3 in their last five, but I'm going to go with the Wings here just because they are, for the most part, more healthy. Marina Mabry coming back does change things, but there's no guarantee she will be back. So I'm going to rock with the Wings to take down the Tempo on the road, which gets us into our last game. The Indiana Fever, 11-8, 3-4 on the road, taking on the Las Vegas Aces, who are 4-5, 5-3 at home. 40.7% chance for the Fever, 59.3% chance for Las Vegas. Kelsey Mitchell, Aaliyah Boston are going to be without Caitlin Clark, possibly without Sophie Cunningham as well. Asia Wilson is supposed to return to this team along with Janiyah Barker and Dana Evans. before this game goes down. So I'm going to lean on the side of caution and go with the team that has been great, who's 3-2 in their last five compared to the Fever's 2-3. The Aces are going to win this game as well. That gives me Morocco, USA, Mexico, Dream, Wings, and Aces for my games this weekend. Don't forget to submit your picks into the 95.3 The Ticket app and enjoy a great Independence Day weekend and catch your Tigers action here on 95.3 The Ticket. This has been Mid Madness. We'll be back next week with more on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.